Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. And here we are for our final segment of the show today, where we're actually traveling north of Sacramento, California. But my guest actually is here in the studio, Donna Bayless. Welcome to the studio.
Oh, good morning, good afternoon.
Good noon. Well, Donna, it's an interesting story, folks. She's a fourth-generation leader of the Bayless Ranch, which is a major rice producer. And also based on Donna's long advocacy for organic and sustainable agriculture, she also is a major provider of lavender for essential oils to the cosmetic industry. She's a true renaissance entrepreneur, as I'm certain you're going to come to appreciate, and even been known and considered as the matriarch of certified organic botanicals and their use in personal care and cosmetic products. And I have to chuckle. She slid me her card here in the studio. It says Donna Bayless, CBC, Chief Blossom Counter.
That's correct.
For the Bayless Ranch.
Yes.
And you can do that because you own and run the place. You can take whatever title you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have been known to count every blossom.
That's lovely. Well, I think this is a good place for us to start, though, and that would be the phenomenal history of the ranch now under your stewardship. It dates back to 1865.
Yes. There were five brothers right after the Civil War who came out to Northern California and were granted property that they farmed together collectively. And they had truly horsepower on that ranch.
Yeah.
And they would plow 20,000 acres south one day and 20,000 acres north the next. And that went on for several years. And they eventually lost that land due to floods before the Abraham Lincoln administration put in the levees to control the waters in the Sacramento Valley. So over the years, you've seen many changes. You actually saw those Bayless brothers be some of the first certified organic, not certified, but organic farmers in California before certification in 200 years later became a standard.
That's right. But in your case, you're this becoming the owner and operator, it came at a point of crisis in your life, didn't it?
Certainly did. Yes, it was quite a stunning moment and staggering in our hearts and in our souls when my husband quite suddenly died. And my six-year-old son and I had this ranch that needed to be saved. And I oftentimes look back and I'm thankful that I had no idea what battle it would be. I think ignorance truly can be bliss because you don't go into things if you know how severe it can be. But I knew I also had to save that property for the heritage, for the family. And being a woman, I didn't want to misserve the capabilities that women have.
It's
and
incredible.
So we had that opportunity to prove ourselves.
But on top of that, it wasn't just, I believe you were a kindergarten teacher before that.
That's
even
right.
Even though you'd lived on the farm or been an associate, it's one thing to suddenly find yourself confronted with the stack of books, but this was also a time, one of the worst agricultural depression cycles, was it not? This was back in the 80s.
Yes, it certainly was. There were farmers all around me losing their ranches. And I had to prevail upon the bankers to give us the opportunity to rally and to prove that we could manage the property. And so we did.
You kept your kept your hands on the reins.
Right.
And at that time, the product was predominantly rice?
We had prunes, walnuts, and rice. And then it became more efficient for me to stay in the rice. And when the last old orchard came out, that was alongside of my home place, it was the perfect opportunity in this small piece of land to venture into something new.
And how did you come to choose lavender?
You know, I had a few different reasons for that. One was I wanted to be making a statement not only to the public, who at that time was not supportive of the farmer. They were viewing the farmer back in the late 80s with anxieties that they were collecting subsidies, that they were polluting the earth, that they were using too much water and growing crops that weren't needed. And so sitting on a highway, state highway and a county road, was the perfect venue to put my statement out there of what I thought could be done to challenge that thinking and actually improve the image of farmers. And so I thought that the lavender would be quite visually attractive, and it is. And we needed it to be drought tolerant. We needed it to be subsidy free. And I needed to do something that I felt very strongly and passionate about, which was to give an alternative to those plant and botanicals and herbs that were in personal care products, to give an opportunity to put a real plant in the bottle and be able to testify to the fact that it was not adulterated or synthetic. So it was a mixed bag of reasons why we chose the lavender.
Now, the other thing that's fascinating that our listeners, if you often listen to my introductions, I mention where people obtain their education or certification mm-hmm. from, or what special experiences they had to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, Donna, you don't have any training in the agriculture side, per se.
Absolutely not.
Nor have you gone off to International Botanical Herbal School or anything like that. So this has been guided light of your own passion and self-learning.
This is true. And, you know, sometimes it's more fun to create your own knowledge and awareness. And I certainly did take, with great respect, the page out of those people's lives and books of knowledge that they verbally shared with me. And I was fortunate enough to be given the invitation to many beautiful farms in Europe. And we also had the opportunity to do some research on our own, but I can tell you the only books that I could find at that time were in French, and my French was not that strong, so I really had to look at the pictures to learn what to do next. And through trial and error, we have learned how to grow a fabulous crop of Mediterranean herbs and botanicals in Northern California.
Is that lovely? And how many acres does that span?
We have 30 of our own, and then farmers who are out there beyond our ranch who farm as well.
And they provide their raw
plants.
Material then, their plants.
Correct.
To for synthesis.
Right.
Of that. So the actual manufacturing or the winnowing down of these plants to the actual essential oil, tell us a little bit about
that. All right. Well, when you harvest, you'll go out and you try, depending on the size of your farm, you have only a small window of time to collect these botanicals before they get too dry and brittle and their essences are lost. So you have to capture the plants ideally just as they're starting to ripen and gauge how many days it's going to take you to get through the entire field without losing at the other end. So there's a dance you do. And we collect hundreds of pounds of our blossoms in cauldrons that then are steam pressure cooked. And those essences go across over into a condenser and are chilled back into the liquid form, carrying all the hydrophobic and hydrophilic properties of the plant material. People sometimes refer to them as phytochemicals. They are the life force of those plants.
And for those who might not be familiar, what is the power of lavender?
Oh,
other than,
well,
I know the aroma is it can evoke,
yes,
so many different memories.
Right.
For each of us, depend on when you had a stroke of lavender,
yes,
or that special perfume that was lavender. But the really the medicinal, mm-hmm, elements of it is striking.
Well, it goes back into the Bible. There are references to it, and into the tombs of Egypt. And I think that for my own observations, I can say that the two types of lavenders that we grow, and I've grown over 50 different types and developed other types as well, but there's a Lavandula ex intermedia and a Lavandula angustifolia, which preceded the intermedia. And that intermedia is a plant that is very healing, has camphor properties to it that are incredibly refreshing and exhilarating, while your angustifolia is a sweeter, more sedating type of quality to it. I have had tremendous things happen to myself personally using the intermedia, otherwise known as grosso, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I had to experience it to believe what happened to me. I've had bruises and burns that were healed before my eyes. And I've had one incident where I smashed my fingers in a file cabinet working one night in the office.
Something we've all done.
Oh, my goodness.
Indeed, yes.
Yes. And fortunately, I had a little beaker of my lavender grosso handy, and I drizzled it over the broken skin at the base of the nails that had now turned black. And within about 10 minutes of the injury, I did this and put the essential oil on the exposed skin. And I immediately had the sensation of an electric current running up my forearm. And being home alone that night, I'm thinking, oh, dear, now what's going to happen next?
You know?
And just about that time, this huge force of kind of swished through the forearm, going back and out the fingertips, almost like a vacuum sucking the pain out. And I thought, well, that was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. And then I continued to sit down, read my mail, and decided I was going to skip my class reunion meeting that night because of the injury. But then 30 minutes later, I realized the pain was gone. And I thought about heading over to that meeting. And then I looked at my nails, and they were clear.
And they were clear.
And they were clear. So I can tell you that these plants, as our Native Americans have known for some time before we ever came here, the power of these plants and their vibrational qualities and how they interact and why they should interact with man and how powerful that union is.
In fact, you use those words, of course, that we shouldn't take them lightly.
Right.
I mentioned that your belief and your passion around sustainability and that word organic. But both those words, I think, are being overused or misused, or they're rather loaded. So tell us Donna Bayless's characterization of those terms.
Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it probably wouldn't be a government-approved definition that I'm going to say. To me, sustainability is almost like the Bayless family farming and other farms who, over the years, you find ways to be useful, to be sustaining in the very mission of your own life. and being sensitive to what is going on around you, what is needed to make it a better place.
Your connectedness,
yes,
and community.
Yeah. Exactly. And to me, that is what sustainability is. And when you translate that into the job you do every day or the purpose of your life, that is true sustainability. I also believe that while we began with plants and the simplicity of man and plants on the earth, we are going full circle back to realizing that the man-made medicines that may have only replicated a handful of the compounds from nature are not taking care of the illnesses and the germs that are coming about in our civilized world today, whereas the compounds of chemicals that are from plants, there may be 200 of them from one given plant. Mm-hmm. And when that plant and other ones along with it are given the opportunity to work for the human body, there is no power greater.
Isn't that the truth? And for those mm-hmm. of us that, of course, we're fortunate here in Tucson to have really a center for integrative medicine,
right,
and alternative and holistic approaches,
mm-hmm.
naturopathic doctors, acupuncturists, the list goes on, is to become more mindful of those possibilities, or certainly
right.
complementing when you can.
Right.
Also in your field now, the whole area of organic farming and the essential oils, I know there's finally, you had shared with me that finally your 20 years of attempting to cultivate an approach that would have a stronger effect in a relatively unregulated field,
mm-hmm.
that you're seeing some recognition by the FDA and other governing bodies of the necessity
mm-hmm.
of keeping, the essential oils you work at.
The integrity.
As the integrity
right.
and unadulterated as we might see from other providers around the world, perhaps.
Exactly. It's a sad reality when you put the equation of marketing and money and big business into anything. And I think what has happened over the years, and I mean decades, even 100 years, you've had the evolution of adulteration to essential oils that has become very difficult with the sophistication of equipment and chemistry to have this average person on the street know the difference between adulteration, synthetic replication, and the real deal, mm-hmm. the real plant by itself. And I think that when you experience what I did with my fingers, you got the message, but not everyone, and I'm certainly not suggesting you go out and try that. But I think that in order to see the real powers, you need to have the full strength of these plants and then use them according to their safe level of use. And I think that having the opportunity that now the organic industry is starting to address as, let's take a closer look at this. Let's double check that things that are coming in, I shouldn't say things, but essential oils that are coming in, extracts that are coming in from foreign countries, and possibly even our own, I couldn't say for certain, but that we need to take a close look at the quality of them and become educated as manufacturers and as consumers with some knowledge and expertise on how to substantiate the integrity and the purity of these plants. And I think that this is just smart for ourselves, and it's a very ethical thing that we need and want to do for the industry and for humans. I think that now that door has been opened, the discussions are beginning, and we will have an educational opportunity to bring greater awareness to how to have transparency, how to have the ability to know where this crop was farmed, how it was processed, how much should have been delivered from it, and validation that it hasn't been synthetically compromised or adulterated, so that when you purchase something that's certified organic, you can have the comfort zone of knowing it truly is the real essence of the plant.
And that it's safe in that regard, and thus mm-hmm. you know the likely possibilities of outcome if you're applying it, certainly to your human body, your skin,
correct.
You know, whatever might be, you know, helping people
yes.
do that.
Yes, you can have a lot of allergens and reactions to these synthetics that you don't know are even in there.
That's right. You had told me, though, that this is really 25 years in the making.
Yes.
And that it started almost as a daydream for you.
It certainly did. It was, you know, and I want to say to all the children and adults out there, pay attention to those daydreams. They can be pretty powerful. And if they keep coming back to you, there's something there for you to consider. And it certainly did become that for me. One morning when I just moved on to the ranch, Zara, it was, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'd woken up and I was sitting in the front room watching the sunrise come up from the east. And my mind just went around that latitude. And I followed it back to the other side of the earth. And it leveled off right about where Grasse and south of France and northern Italy is. And I was imagining, why is it that we can't be growing these beautiful flowers, these herbs, and doing it here on the same latitude? And we had a climate that was so similar. We have towns named after towns in the same regions over there that those pioneers came and settled into. And so that just that blink of a daydream has been the last third of my life or fourth of my life, whatever it might be.
And many years to come. Well,
yeah.
that's certainly that reference to being on the same latitude. And then also yeah. this idea that really you've taken the Bayless Ranch and circled it back
right.
to its very roots from the 1860s yeah. of being so focused on organic.
Right.
Right. Well, Donna Bayless from the Bayless Ranch, the Chief Blossom Counter. I love that again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And our listeners, you can learn more about Donna's products, her ranch, in fact, which is a destination spot for weddings and events as interested. It's BAYLISS, BaylessRanch.com in Biggs, California at 530-868-5467. Donna, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you,
and
Zara.
And being particularly here in Arizona. It's a
oh,
pleasure to
I
have
love,
you.
I love Arizona.
Great.
Coming home to Arizona.
There you go. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.